But yeah, my name's Jerome. I'm going to be speaking to you today. I'm part of the sort of team here. And we're going to be talking about pearls and treasures and fun things like that. Before I start, I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us today. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for all of us, Jesus. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you consider us beautiful. Lord, that you would lay down your life for us. God, we thank you, Lord, because it's not a moment that we're not standing in your grace. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, guys, good news. Sort of. I'm getting married this year. Not just me. I'm really excited. and it's an amazing step. You know, and I'm very thankful to God for the opportunity. But I've got to tell you, a bit like Andrew, you know, it wasn't all a bed of roses getting to this point. I remember a year or so ago, I realized that Bethan was just awesome. Getting those brownie points in. There was something special about this relationship, actually. You know, this girl was like my best friend. It was awesome. And I realized that this relationship was something that I wanted to last. And I ended up in my room asking myself a serious question, one that I never wanted to ever ask. Do I really want to marry this girl? Oh. Eventually, the answer was yes, praise God. But that was the easy bit, actually. The hard bit was doing something about it. I remember going to the jewelers. Hey, Samuel. to the jewelers. And going and saying, oh, I'm just looking at some rings. And they were like, oh, what for? And I was like, engagement rings, you know, really, really embarrassing. There's a lot of fear that I had, and you know, actually, there took a point that if I really wanted to spend my life with Bethan, if I really wanted to take that step, I had to take a step of faith. There was some courage. I had to weigh up the cost and think, oh, is it worth my pride? Is it worth the embarrassment? You get what I'm saying? And it was. So praise God. But yeah, I'd found something amazing. I'd found a treasure. I'd found a pearl of great price. It's just embarrassing, actually, isn't it? Jude, why did you encourage me to tell this story? So the question is, I found something beautiful, but what was I going to do about it? And I think this passage is similar to this situation. Jesus is showing us what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of Jesus. What is it like when Jesus is the king of our lives? And Manji was just speaking about that, the freedom that he got, that only Jesus could bring after he tried by himself. What are things like when we put Jesus Christ first in our life? This passage, I think, shows us what it's like when we first encounter some of the kingdom of God, and when we discover the goodness of God, when we discover a pearl of great price or a treasure. So today I'm going to be asking you two questions. I'm not going to speak for long because I don't want to speak for long. So I'm asking you two questions. And the first question is this, and I think all of us can relate to this question, I think. The question is this: have you discovered the goodness of God? Have you discovered the goodness of God? I think we can see the goodness of God in many different ways. We can experience God's goodness during times of worship. So when I was a teenager, around Andrew's age, I went to this worship kind of event thing. And in this time of worship, I felt the love of God. I can't really explain it, like, you know, that a light didn't open up in heaven. But actually, in my heart, I felt something warm, something special. And in that kind of moment, God was speaking to me. I knew that I was loved. I knew that I was forgiven. I knew that I had a good father. I had a purpose and a good way to walk in. And, you know, in that moment, I really tasted the goodness of God. It's a very special moment to me. I can tell you about more later, but I'm not talking for long. But in that moment, I tasted the goodness of God. We can see the goodness of God when we worship. Speaking of tasting, we can discover the goodness of God when we commune here at St. James. I've had countless, hallelujah, conversations with people about how much they love that we eat food at St. James. Does anyone love that we eat food at St. James? Bethan might not enjoy that I eat too much food at St. James. You know, the love that we have, the food after church, the socials, the student lunches, Jude's house, thank you, Jude, the food at Mammoth, when everyone comes together and brings food together. You know, this loving kingdom, oh, Jesus, we do love you. This loving kingdom that we have is a taste of God's goodness. You know, that he inspires us to love one another. Have we discovered the goodness of God? We can see the goodness of God in other Christians too. I remember being in sixth form. This is kind of a weird story. Being at the gym, and I wasn't doing weights. I was just sitting there socializing. But my friend was doing weights. Let's call him Mike. Great guy. Great name. Strong name. He was on that machine. Does that, the name of it. Go on. Bicep press? Let's go with that. Yeah. On that machine. And, you know, we were just talking, chilling, and he was a believer too. And, great time just socializing in the gym. And there's this guy that walked in, and he was, for some reason, in a bad mood or whatever, and he just wanted to pick a bone with somebody. And so he came up to Michael and started calling him names. He started saying racial abuse at him, calling all sorts. And Michael just sat there and just took it. He just wasn't going to retaliate for some reason. And it kind of escalated. Michael didn't even say anything, but he slapped him in the face, and then he punched him in the face. I know. And I stood up, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, I was ready to do something. And, right, I'm just going to leave this here for now, and I'll take it back later. But we still love Jesus. That was the noise that it made when Michael got hit. It wasn't. Yeah, Michael got hit in his face. He won't mind me telling you this. And, I was ready to do something. I stood up off my rowing machine that I wasn't using. And I was like, oh. And Michael goes, he put up his hand, and he went like this. And I was like, what? And Michael says, where I come from, the bigger man walks away. Silence. You know, I was amazed that the love of God could manifest itself in such a way that someone could choose love and forgiveness over violence and revenge, that he could choose compassion over retaliation. And, you know, there are lots of ways to see the goodness of God, and these are just a few. That's a good friend of mine, if I like to call Mike. We do see the goodness of God actually, I think, in the most amazing way in Jesus Christ himself. The scripture says in John 3:16, we all know it, hopefully, that he loves us, that he gave himself up for us, that we could have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, it says, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. I wouldn't. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in the mess, while we were still smoking weed, while we were still, you know, being rude in our classes, disrespecting our parents, not loving one another, Jesus died for us. He didn't ask us to change first. He gave us his love first. And I think that's absolutely amazing, that Jesus considers us, even in our worst state, worth paying the price for. So I think it's important that we remember today that we are actually worth something. You are Jesus' pearl. You are Jesus' pearl of great price. Great price. He is willing and has sold everything for you. Have you tasted? Have you seen the goodness of God? Have you discovered the goodness of God? My second question is this. If you have tasted the goodness of God, if you've discovered some of God's goodness, the question is this. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? When I discovered the goodness of my relationship with Bethan, I had to take action. I had to take a step of courage. In spite of my fears and my doubts, I had to let go of my pride. I had to take a courageous action. The man who found the treasure in the field that we just read about, you know, he had to sell everything and buy that field. Imagine him on eBay selling his sofa, the embarrassment of selling his last pair of shoes. You know, it's not an easy thing to sell everything. What would his friends say? Would they laugh? What would his family think? He sold everything so he could buy that treasure. He saw that the treasure was worth it. God, on his discovery of his love for us, gave Jesus that we would have eternal life. So how are we going to respond? What are we going to do about it? I heard this really cool story. I was at work, actually, and I was talking about this with my friend, and he told me this story. It's really good. And it's about this boy who was walking on the beach with his dad. Let's just say Crosby Beach, because we're in Liverpool. And he used to go with his dad once a week to the beach, and he used to collect shells. Oh, have you guys seen under the chairs? We've got some shells there. Do you want to take a look? I'll give you a moment. Should be a shell under every chair. Such preparation. So there's a guy who used to walk on the beach, Crosby Beach, with his dad and collect shells. And he loved collecting shells. There were big ones, small ones, bright ones, ugly ones. But there were loads of shells, and he loved to collect them. But what that boy really, really wanted was a starfish. I've never actually seen one in person in real life. But he wanted a starfish. He wanted a starfish. If he could get that starfish, he would everything else wouldn't matter. You know, he could have all the shells in the world, but if he had a starfish, that would be it. That would be nice. But one day, lovely, one day, he was walking down the beach with his dad, and he was picking up all the starfish, sorry, the shells. And he had loads of shells in his hand. He's like, oh, it's got loads of shells. And his dad was like, hey, son, look. Oh, my gosh, you're not going to believe it. There's a starfish over there. Yeah, I'm just trying to annoy you. There's a starfish over there. And his son's like, what? No, you're joking. Runs over with all his shells. And he's like, oh, there's a starfish. It's in reach. Go and grab it. Go and grab it. And he looks at his shells in his hand, his beautiful shells. He looks at the starfish. Looks at the shells. Looks at the starfish. Looks back at the shells. Looks at the starfish. And he goes to his dad. Dad, I can't do it. His dad's like, what? What are you talking about? He goes, I can't let go of the shells. That's right. He was so wrapped up in the things that he had, the lesser beauty of the things that he had, that he couldn't let go of them and go for what he really wanted. We do the same things. We see the goodness of God. We discover it. And for some reason, we can't go all in. We're so wrapped up in other things that we don't let go and get what we really want, what we really need. When Jesus is walking on earth, it's a great story of a rich young man came to him and says, Jesus, what do I do? What do I do if I want to follow you? I really want to follow you. And he goes, simple, just sell everything that you have and come follow me. The guy walked away. He couldn't do it. He couldn't let go of the shells. He couldn't take the starfish. The question is, you've seen the goodness of God. What are you going to do about it? We're going to move into a time of response now. And I'd like to invite the band back up. And in this moment, we're going to have some worship. We're going to have some time and some space. I'm cutting my sermon short so we can really just reflect on Jesus now. You know, on his kingdom, on his goodness. The love that God has given to us is so good and so amazing. And it's worth responding to in some way. Some of us have been Christians for years. And the love of God, you know, it could be second nature to you. You know you're loved by God. But you may be realizing that you're holding on to some things that you know you need to let go of. You know Jesus is calling you to more. To a more personal relationship with him. Maybe another freedom or another level of freedom in worship. Maybe, you know, you just want to be able to sing like freely without fear. Maybe you want to live a more bold life for Jesus in work or college or in your home life. And you know you're just not taking that step of faith just to say, yes, God. Jesus has given everything for us. What are we going to do about it? And some of us may not yet know the Lord. Maybe recently you may have started to see the goodness of God. You might have tasted a bit of the kingdom of God here or in another place. Jesus is calling all of us. He's calling you into a personal relationship with him. Do you want it? What are you going to do today? The scripture challenges all of us. This scripture challenges all of us to think seriously about the call of God in our lives. Jesus is telling us to follow him, to live in his kingdom, to live a life where Jesus is king. It requires us to give up things, and it's not easy. But it is the best decision you'll ever make. So today, I'm encouraging you to let go of the shells and to pick up the starfish. So you have these shells that you have, and during worship, we're going to have the cross up here. And we're going to have a team praying here. And it'd be really great if all of us can take our shell. You might want to take a moment just to think about the things that may be shells in your life. You know, they might necessarily be bad things. They might not always be sins. They could just be things that get in the way. Sometimes we prioritize things over Jesus, and that's just not right. You might want to take a moment just to think about the shells in your own life. And then come up to the cross and put it on the floor. And here, you can pick up a starfish. Jesus is calling us all. Don't hold on to the things that you know you need to let go of. Just let go of these things. Let go of your pride. Let go of the anxiety. Let go of the fear. Let go of your friends' voices, what the world says. Let's choose today to make a courageous action in response to the goodness of God that He has shown us in Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to pray to close, and then when you're ready, do come up. Get your starfish. And a couple of us, I myself, Jude, and a few others will be here for prayer. If you want to pray about anything, come up to us. Don't let the chance leave you by. So God, I thank you so much for your word, Lord, that it's powerful. Lord, that even in four verses of scripture, we can see your amazing grace shown to us, Jesus. God, right now we look at our shells. We look at the things that we hold on to, Jesus, the things that we need to let go of. We look at them and we say, Jesus, we want your way, not our own. God, I pray you'll help us to be courageous every single day of our lives, Lord, that we can live by your spirit, God, that we can trust in you. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you give us your Holy Spirit to enable us to live a life for your name. Thank you so very much, Jesus. You are our King. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.